we're going to look at some very notable people and how did when they knew that who Jesus was or they didn't know who Jesus was, what was their response? Because I think what it's going to do is it's going to help us, because all of us in this room respond to Jesus, don't we? We have in the past and we will for the rest of our life. And the Bible doesn't just tell us only about God. It also tells us about ourselves. And we can learn from the experience of other people in the Bible, and many of them great responses of faith and worship, but also other responses that help us locate and to steer us from their wrong responses. Okay? So some believed Jesus, some followed him, some rejected him, some doubted him. And at the very end of his earthly life, some hated him so much that they killed him. All right. So again, how do we interact with Jesus? So the first account we're going to look at today from the Word is, I want you to notice there are going to be three individuals that responded to Jesus. All right. So Elizabeth, Mary, the mother of Jesus, this is her first cousin. All right. And then John the Baptist that Elizabeth gave birth to, and then Mary herself. All right, in this one passage. So go with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And again, kind of notice in the scripture, listen to what they said or their emotions or their statements, and then we'll come back and talk about it. Luke chapter 1, 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. That's not a person, it means quickly. Thank you. All right. To a city of Judah. Now, backstory is she is already with child. She has already conceived by the Holy Ghost, and so she is carrying Jesus, the Son of God. And entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, all right, just hello, how are you, right, that the babe leaped in her womb. All right, who's the babe in her womb? Is John the Baptist or John the Baptizer? And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice. And all the Pentecostals said, loud voice. Yeah, loud voice. And said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Ooh, Elizabeth is prophesying. She is filled with, the things that she's saying that the Holy Spirit is showing are amazing. And Mary said, and from what we can see, she is also speaking by the Holy Spirit. She's also speaking. And Mary, from everything we know, is a teenager. And Mary is speaking so full of scripture in this passage. Can teenagers know scripture? Absolutely, and they should and they must. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, speaking about herself. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. For his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He has spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. So let's go back and let's notice. So there's Elizabeth, there's John, an unborn John, and there's Mary. So how did they respond to Jesus? Now, Jesus is still in the womb. Jesus has not come where people can see him, but he's alive, isn't he? He's alive in the womb. How many of you have ever carried children, moms? You know they're alive, don't you? All right. They do all kinds of funny things in the womb to let you know that they're alive. All right. So the first thing that Elizabeth did, and when she realized here's Mary and Mary is with child, the Son of God, the Messiah, she recognized my Lord God, my Lord God. So she knew that Jesus was and is the Son of God. All right. And so what we know from Scripture, what we refer to at Christmas as the incarnation, that's not when the second person of the Trinity, the Son, that's not when he was born. He existed from all of time. From all of time. And I know, understand if you come from a Watchtower background or Jehovah's Witness background, that you were not told that. But that is, sadly, is a lie that they told you. And they changed the Bible because they don't believe that Jesus is God. How many know that's a big problem? Because if he's not God, then we're not saved. All right. We're not forgiven. All right. And so one of the greatest attacks that the devil has in the history of the church is to attack the deity of Jesus. All right. So Jesus was, we know from the first chapter of John that he was there at creation. He was part of the Trinity who created the earth. All right. He had a part to play. Now, Jesus, the unseen God, becomes God-man. Think of it with a hyphen, God-man. All right. He came to the earth and he was fully God and fully man. So Elizabeth recognized Jesus as God. All right. Now, what we also see here is that you could almost say she was kind of minding her own business. This was a relative coming over to say hello, and Mary stayed with her for a length of time. But when this happened, she was filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, how many of you know Acts chapter 2 is when the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh? All right. And up to this time, before that happened, before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would be poured out, you could say, on selected people for momentary situations. Okay. And this was one of those times. She was filled with the Holy Spirit and she began to speak. It's very, very interesting, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Consistently, people who are filled with the Holy Spirit speak by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, rushing mighty wind, tongues of fire. What's the first thing that happened? They began to speak in other tongues. To speak. And so God, Numbers 11, remember those 70 guys that went and they were going to be anointed to help Moses? What was the first thing that happened? They prophesied. The Holy Spirit came upon them. Let God fill your heart and your mouth. Amen. And so here we see that God anoints her to speak. And I am so glad. I'm so glad that Scripture shows us that God anoints women and men, anoints women to speak as anointed vessels, to speak. And she spoke so spot on, it made it into the canon of Scripture. All right. This is a, you know, kind of a preview of Acts chapter 2, which is the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, that says your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So why would God anoint a daughter to prophesy to herself? No, prophecy is for the encouragement, the edification, the comfort of who? The hearers. Amen. Women prophesy. speak filled with the Holy Ghost. Be a blessing to the world. Amen. Hallelujah. And you'll be very, very scriptural. So Pentecost, this is again kind of a precursor, but Pentecost means that he anoints men and women to speak on his behalf, anointed to build up fellow believers. And here's what we also see about Elizabeth that I think is important for us to know. As far as we know from Scripture, we don't see that Elizabeth is a prophet nor a pastor. All right. She's a follower of God, isn't she? All right. So God wants to use believers in supernatural ways, filled with the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to be standing in a fivefold ministry to do that. Hallelujah. You can be living your life and the Holy Spirit comes upon you and says, go speak to that person. We were having just a prayer meeting here at church, and we pray as a staff for each other, just some of our own personal needs. And I was in a group and a lady that works here at the church. And she's one of the reasons that when you come to church on a Sunday, things are crystal clear, clean. And everything is so nice. She's one of the reasons that happens. And I was just sharing this situation in my family. And by the Holy Spirit, she gave me a scripture. She said, you know, Pastor, God wants you to know this scripture. Oh, you mean a general worker can be anointed to give a scripture to a pastor? Absolutely, yes. It was a word in season. Amen. All right. So thank God that he uses us. So Elizabeth saw Jesus as God, was filled with the Holy Spirit. All right. What about baby John? All right. So John was a few months ahead of Jesus, his cousin. All right. And so what is baby John, what was his response? Well, how do we know his response? We know what he said at Jordan River. But no. Baby John responded to Jesus. Baby John in the womb responded to Jesus. All right, let's just go back there and let's see what did baby John do? Well, as soon as the voice of your greeting, verse 44, sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. For joy. All right. So here is a baby in the womb having recognizable emotion. Recognizable emotion. The mom knew the baby was happy. Not just that maybe she had eaten the wrong breakfast and the baby was having a hard time digesting. Okay? Mm-mm-mm-mm. This was a baby in the womb responding to Jesus, the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? All right. So this is an account, and it's interesting that Elizabeth, and again, this is in the canon of Scripture, Elizabeth calls her unborn baby a baby. All right. That word in the Greek is used for a baby outside of the womb that's been born 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. Baby outside of the womb, baby inside of the womb. Now, I know we have technical words now, fetus and those kinds of things. But you know what? A baby in the womb is not a mass. It's not a growth. It's not unwanted. It's a baby capable of emotion. Capable of responding to Jesus. I'm not talking about a baby can get saved. All right. But do you see this? And this is in the New Testament was written in Greek. In the Old Testament, written in Hebrew, same exact thing. The word, the Hebrew word for baby is used for a baby in the womb. In the womb. All right. So just a little side journey here. I know this is a Christmas sermon and everything. All right. But if you are a single person, whether you were the father of that child or you're the mother of that child, and from Scripture, single people, that's not God's plan for single people to have babies, right? To father a child or to have the child in your womb. All right. So that's not God's plan But guess what? It's a baby. It's a child. And that child is now to be nurtured and received and helped. And if you don't have a family that will help you, this church will help you. And even if you do have a family that will help you, this church will help you. All right? And we are not here to condemn you. We're not here to throw stones. All right? But please don't throw that baby in the garbage can. Please don't get rid of it. It's not a mass. All right. And so if you're the father of that child, or maybe you're the dad of a daughter, take that lady to the gynecologist so that that baby can be full term. Don't take them to someone who's going to kill the baby. Amen. If you've ever done that, if you've ever participated in that, let Miracle Life help you. We've done it. I've personally done it. My wife's done it. Other pastors. We love you. We are discreet. We'll help you. We'll find you restoration. Amen. Again, we're not here to cast stones. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So we must let Scripture say what it says. And if we think, well, I don't agree with it, well, change your mind. Don't change Scripture. Amen. So John in the womb, what was it that he was happy about? Now, later we know that John outside of the womb, when he saw his cousin Jesus coming, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." All right. So we have no reason. You know, John wasn't prophesying in the womb. Okay, we'd have no reason that but here's the interesting thing is inside the womb and outside of the womb, John realized Jesus is the Messiah. And with that realization, the first response, and we're going to see this throughout this in these passages, when we realize that Jesus is God and that Jesus is the Messiah, the response in Scripture is joy, joy. It's a very scriptural Christmas carol. Joy to the world. All right. Now, Mary and this beautiful, beautiful, so much we could see here. But if you just look at the first part of her response, she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul glorifies. My soul worships God." All right. And that was another very, very common response was, recognizing Jesus, recognizing what he came to do is to worship him. She rejoiced. She recognized in this passage the honor that God had given her in this role. If you think about it, there's only going to be one woman in all of Scripture that is going to be used by God to bring Jesus into the earth. And she got chosen. She got picked. All right. And so Elizabeth said, you know, people are going to call you blessed. And she realized, I am blessed. And what an honor. She realized that. But notice what she said about God. "And my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." My Savior. She didn't say God, my equal. She said God, my Savior. Who needs a Savior? People who need saving, right? People who need a bailout. People who are broken down on the side of the road, all right? She recognized in this passage that she was a sinner in need of a Savior. Mary, blessed Mary, chosen Mary, realized, I need a Savior. All right. This would be very, very consistent with we know. What does the Bible say? For all have sinned. Is Mary part of the all? Of course she is. Of course she is. The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Mary's not a part of the Trinity. She is so blessed. She is so honored. And man, I'm going to salute her in heaven. I'm not going to worship her in heaven. And I'm certainly not going to worship her down here either. Amen. All right. So she realized that she needed to be saved from her sin. She saw Jesus as the Savior of the world. This would be very consistent with what her husband was told as well. All right, go to Matthew 1. Matthew 1, verse 21. So Matthew, boy, he needed some clarification about this whole, what was going on in his fiance who was pregnant. All right. Also a very honorable man. But so the angel came to explain to him, Matthew 1:21, speaking to Joseph, and she, being Mary, your betrothed wife, she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Just leave that up there, their sins. All right. Now we say, for he will save. Well, the word Jesus, or Joshua, Yeshua, in that Hebrew mind, means the deliverer, the one who rescues. All right. And so he's saying that his name will be consistent with his earthly mission. Now, what do we need saved from? What do we need saved from? All right. And, you know, for kind of the whole world and now in Zambia with elections approaching, I hope you've got your ID, your voter registration card. Amen. If you don't, there's mercy and extension. All right. Many, many people in the world can't vote, so please make sure you vote. All right. But and with elections all around the world, you know, sometimes people feel, you know, we need a political savior. We need to be saved from this or from that, or we need an economic savior. Well, our biggest problem is our own sin. And it doesn't say that he will save his people from the other guy's sin. He will save his people from those who attack them and have been putting curses on them. Mm-mm. People are so focused on their enemies looking out the window. What gets you into 99.9% of the problems of your life? It's the choices you make. It's the sin of your own heart. That's the salvation that we need. And one of the greatest lessons of the Old Testament is we cannot save ourselves. A leopard cannot change his own spots. How can we who are sinful change our ways? Okay, so what do we need a savior for? To save us from our sins. Now, let's look at another passage. So there was Elizabeth, there was John, there was Mary. And this guy makes a short appearance in the Bible. Oh, but I love this guy, Simeon. Luke chapter 2. Simeon, and he just kind of comes on the scene. We know a little bit about him, and then he's gone. All right, just a little momentary passage here. So Jesus has now been born, and he's coming to Jerusalem. So he's going to be circumcised on the eighth day, as the law prescribes. Jesus fulfilled all the law for us. He was perfect in that way. His parents followed it. So here we are, Luke chapter 2, verse 25. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, and he was a righteous and devout. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. There's that again. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he had been revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there, and he took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Holy Spirit was upon him, and he said, all right, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. So the Holy Spirit came. Now, what he is quoting there in verse 32 is from multiple passages in Isaiah. Okay, this is not just spontaneous knowledge that was given to him. All right, but he is recalling scripture and phrases from there. All right, so He knew from Scripture, and particularly Isaiah, that God would send a Messiah to rescue Israel. But he also knew from Isaiah that Messiah would not just be for the Jews, but he would be for all people. All people. You know, I don't think we have to really argue about what all people means. You know what it means? All people. Okay? He is a light. He's the light of God to reveal to the nations. That means more than just Israel. To the nations. Okay, Romans 9, 10, and 11 talks about how God has now expanded his plan of redemption. And he has now included the whole world, the Gentiles as participants. All right, to the Jew first and also to the Greek and also to the Tonga and also to the Lozi. And also to the Scottish, German, American, Pastor Walker, hallelujah, for the whole world. Okay, so what are some common threads we see in these responses to Jesus? And again, these are models. These will help us in our responses. So one of the responses that is very typical here is joy. All right. When Jesus comes, we can be happy. He can fix things. He is a healer. He is a restorer. He is a mender. He is a truth teller. He is the light of the world. We who were in darkness saw a great light. Okay, so from cousins to moms to old men to shepherds to rich wise men, all of these people in the first chapters of the Gospels, all of them had joy, because Jesus came and we know who Jesus is. All right. Another response that they have is that they recognize that a savior is born. Simeon put it this way: my eyes have seen salvation. He is our salvation. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. There are philosophers and there are authors and there are smart people and there are people who bring ideas, but none of them can save. There is only one Savior. And I don't know if you can recall in your life really the joy and the relief of just a time where you were saved. Maybe some of you were in a financial situation that you could not bail yourself out and someone, quote, saved you. They fixed it. Do you remember that feeling? I remember as a little kid, I was getting beat up, tied to a tree by this guy two houses down. And here comes my big brother, the Savior. And I wasn't getting beat up anymore. I couldn't fix it myself. So my big brother fixed it. Oh, hallelujah. He fixed it. All right. To the point I didn't get picked on again. All right. Titus 3, Pastor Kandwani mentioned this last week. Titus 3, verse 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, has appeared to who? Toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we can have joy. There is a Savior. And the last thing we can see that's consistent in some of these responses is that everyone is included. Everyone is included. I don't know how you feel. Sometimes it's now easier to find this out on social media, but all your friends are at a party and you're not. And it's not because you forgot, it's because you weren't included. You weren't on the list, okay? Especially with social distancing. The numbers have shrunk. You don't make as many lists these days, all right? Titus 2:11, if you go just back from where it's from that passage, is consistent with what Simon said, that now God is reaching out to Jews and Gentiles, all the nations. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to how many men? All men. 1 Timothy 2:3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's keep reading. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You know what that means? It means that I'm included, you're included. It means that all of your friends, all of your loved ones, that's why you can be bold to preach the gospel. That's why you can say Jesus loves you. That's why no matter how far someone has fallen, Jesus died for you. I am so, so thankful that the Bible is so clear that atonement is not limited. Jesus died for the world. He died for everyone. And so now our message is to whosoever, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, whoever shall be saved. So that means the world is our audience. Amen. Even people who've harmed you, even people who have hurt you, you can pray, God, reveal yourself. Use me. God, let me be a display of mercy and grace to them. Amen. So, lots to see about Jesus, lots to respond to him. And can we ask God to help us respond well? Amen. Father, help us, Lord, in seeing these beautiful, beautiful examples from Scripture, Lord. Two ladies, a baby and a man, an old man. God, doesn't matter who we are, what our age, what our position or status of what people say we are, God, you want to use us. We can respond to Jesus. We can be a blessing and a light, the light of Jesus to our world. Lord, help us to do that.